Hey, you're listening to the Produce Like a Boss podcast, where we are arming you with the tools that you need to become a six-figure producer. So if you're brand new here and you don't know me, hey, I'm Chris Bradley. I have built a six-figure production company from my home studio, recording and producing through multiple revenue streams, including sync licensing, beat licensing, custom songwriting, session work, and more. All right, let's do this.
And we are back with another episode of the Produce Like a Boss podcast. I'm realizing in the last episode, I didn't introduce myself, but hopefully people know by now, because I've been on these now for the last six or seven. But my name is Patrick. I am the brand manager here at Produce Like a Boss. I'm joined by the one and only Chris Bradley.
Hey, hey.
And we are diving into another really fun topic today. And it was something we were away at Funnel Hacking Live, a big marketing conference. And we talked a lot about how this applies to the life of a musician. And there's one sort of big concept we wanted to bring to the table today, and that is the idea of how to build your offer. And what we found a lot, and it's nobody's fault, but I think people don't always understand what it means to have an offer versus having a service versus selling a product. And in the grand scheme of things, it's what differentiates you from any other person that can write songs, sing songs, play music. It's what you're bringing to the table. So let's just jump right in.
Let's
Are you
do
good?
This.
Are you ready just to dive
I'm
in?
I'm ready to go. Let's rock and roll.
So let's just, I would love to get your thoughts on, from a broad perspective, what does it mean to have an offer as a musician?
Well, I think you just nailed it. I think it's really what sets you aside in the market and takes you from being a commodity, which would make your services comparable on price and makes you stand out, right, from the rest.
Yes.
And, you know, just as a heads up, to be a commodity and where you're competing on price is truly a race to the bottom, because all somebody has to do is lower their price. And all of a sudden, you can see, it's a race to the bottom, right? And so rather than doing that, what we like to focus in on is how can you deliver so much value that your price becomes a no-brainer. And it doesn't become, well, how much do you charge to produce that song? Okay, well, so-and-so charges XYZ. And then you're like, yeah, but I have an offer. So-and-so is offering to produce your song, but here's what I'm going to do. And then it becomes kind of this list of things. I would actually love to give an example that Russell gave. So he was talking at an event where he had these up-and-coming kids that are like new entrepreneurs in the making, right? And he said, all right, kids, I want you to get your offer together. And one of them said, okay, mine is a babysitting offer. And she's like, and I'm going to charge like $10 an hour. And, you know, but there's so many other babysitters out there that are doing the same thing that I'm doing. And he goes, okay, well, let's build your offer. So, you know, how are you going to differentiate yourself from these other babysitters? And he goes, she goes, well, I can tutor them on their math homework, and I could also do the dishes, and I could also pick them up from school. And then she started listing all these things, and Russell's writing it all down on the whiteboard, and he goes, wait a second, how much an hour are you? Like, can I hire you? You know? And all of a sudden, her offer went from, I'm a babysitter for $10 an hour, to like, I'm a tutor, I'm a babysitter, I can also tidy up the house, I can make sure the kids are in bed if you're going out late. You know, it was all these things that just built this tremendous amount of value into what she brought to the table. And all of a sudden, it wasn't a $10 an hour babysitter. It was like a massive offer, right? It was a really good demonstration that I probably paraphrased and kind of butchered a little bit, but I think you get the idea, right? So
definitely,
I started to kind of do a very similar thing with my offer as a music producer.
Yeah, let's dive into that. I think that'd be a great thing to kind of go in, because we're also going to talk about some examples, because I think you might be listening to this and go, that doesn't apply to the thing I do. Well, we're going to tackle that, so don't you worry. But I would love to hear a little bit, when you were in the thick of it as a producer, how did you structure an offer, you know, to make yourself stand out?
Yeah, so one of the things that I noticed as I transitioned from doing demos, which were a lot cheaper, and then like we talked about in the last episode, I started getting so busy that I was able to raise my prices, be a little bit more selective. But with that is going to come a little bit of friction, you know, and I started to notice that people would say, oh, you charge this? Well, so-and-so charges that. And I thought to myself, okay, how can I, and this was actually pre-knowing about Russell or the babysitter offer, but I started to get creative with it. And I thought, okay, what are some of the things that this person is also going to need that is it's really not hard for me to fulfill on, you know, and that I can include in my offer. So I started to say, okay, well, I charge $2,000 or $2,500, you know, which is what I was charging at the time, to produce your track. But you're not just going to get a fully produced track. I'm also going to sing on it for free. And I normally charge $300, $400 as a singer. I'm also going to give you full clearance on that to use it in any way that you like. I'm also going to give you some stems so that you don't have to circle back around with me if you get an opportunity that asks for those stems. Now, keep in mind, no other producers were doing this. The story of every singer-songwriter's life is, I'm trying to find my producer so I can get the stems and they're not getting back to me, right? I knew that as a singer-songwriter going into that. So I had that pain point, if you will, of knowing the frustration I had when I needed a producer. And I said, what would I have liked to have? Okay, so I'm like, I'm going to give you stems. I'm also going to give you alt mixes because I know that you're pitching your music for film and TV. And oftentimes the reason they even ask for stems is they might be actually wanting just a drums and bass version or just a version with no vocals or just a version with no drums. And I said, so I'm going to give you three different alt versions. Not only that, I'm going to give you a 30-second cut down and a 60-second cut down. So when you go to pitch your song, you have an arsenal of assets. You're not just pitching a song. You're actually able to pitch like six or seven bits of your song for different opportunities. So look at how much value I have packed into that. You think they're going to tell me, oh, well, so-and-so charges. No, so-and-so isn't giving you all those things.
Yeah. And well, yeah. So we had the song, we had the stems, we had the session singing, we had the cut downs, we had the alt mixes, and you're solving all these problems even before they come up. And I think what's interesting about that is that when you're in the musician world, it's easy to understand what differentiates you from another singer, for example. But to a lot of consumers, a good singer is a good singer. And that isn't enough to distinguish them of like why the value is different. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to offer that, so then you're presenting an offer now that is so clearly different from what the other service is. That's where you can justify your prices, because I think it's hard for people to understand that, but some people, like my mom, doesn't really know the lyrics to any song, like, you know, but she likes the Beatles and things like that. So they'll be more comparable to an outsider from the music industry than someone in it. And that's really what you have to think about when you're building an offer, because you can't just go and be like, well, I'm a really special songwriter. I'm a really, really special singer, because to a lot of people, it's not a vast enough difference to justify prices.
Sure. And a great example of speaking directly to people, like how it benefits them, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the people coming to me, for like 90%, it ended up because I specialized in music for film and TV. Most of my people were also wanting to break into film and TV. And that's why they were coming to me, because they saw the success I was having and they wanted me to produce their tracks. That was the offer I came up for them. You know, another way to expand and make an offer is to think about, like, once again, who is the client? What pain points do they have? What problems can you solve for them ahead of time? So I've even seen producers do this where they're like, I'll produce your track, but I don't mix and I don't master. And all of a sudden they're sending their client to go figure out where to go next. That is not what a client wants. What a client really wants when they come to you is to know that you are essentially taking care of everything, that you oversee it, right? So we talk about this in the Home Studio Boss course too. It's like, even if you don't master professionally, build it into your damn offer and then outsource it yourself so that that person is taken care of and they don't have to worry about the next steps. I would even take that a step further. And, you know, a lot of us don't know what the value and the skills that we have is so valuable to somebody that doesn't. So even your basic knowledge in Canva, let's say that you can do basic graphics. Could you help them with their album artwork? Could you help them with their logo? Have you released a song in the past? And have they not ever released a song? And how hard would it be for you to put together some sort of step-by-step release strategy for them and say, that comes included with me producing your single? Let's take that a step further. You want to really build value into your offer? What if you charged thousands of dollars more and A&R'd it for them and said, I'm going to represent you. I will actually release your single and help you develop a marketing strategy. Now, of course, and you have to be ethical about this. You can only help somebody to the degree in which you're capable of helping them. But start asking yourself, what other skills do I possess? And don't undercut yourself, because if you are five steps or just a few steps ahead of the other person, they're going to be way better off working with you than if you're like, now you're off to the wolves. Here's your song. Good luck finding, you know, a release strategy. No.
Right.
Literally, like, the way that we make money is providing value. Like, we could just summarize all business down to that. Like, provide value, get paid, right? So if you want to make more money, build more value. We could just end the episode here.
Yeah, okay, that was good. Like 6 minutes in.
Right?
Well, you're totally right about we really underestimate things that we do easily or that come naturally to us, and we don't assign a correct value to that. And particularly, you know, like, so my partner, she's a visual artist, a tattoo artist, a graphic designer. So over like the several years, I've absorbed a lot of graphic design knowledge and principles from her. And when I look at like what I didn't know 5 years ago, 6 years ago, that is a really different skill set. And now when there is opportunities when I do work where I'm like, well, I could create a graphic really quickly. It doesn't take a lot of my time, but I know it can provide more value to this. And I think you're totally right about, you should be looking at whatever skill, whatever service you want to be providing, and then look at all the other things you know how to do and see how that could evaluate, you know, enhance your offer.
Exactly. And that just to solidify for anybody that, like, because I know this is new information for some people stepping into this. It's like, that is the difference between an offer and a product, right? Yes. That is the difference between a service and an offer, is how can we enhance the product or the service? How can we enhance the main thing, right? It's like, but wait, there's more, you know?
Yes.
And get a free knife set. Half kidding.
Right.
But how can we enhance that service?
Because the reality is you're, I can't think of anything that's going to be a new service. So like, there's nothing new under the sun. You're not bringing something to the table that doesn't exist. You're, if you're producing or writing songs, like, you're doing something unique, but the idea that it's like never been seen. So when you're offering a service, it's not like you made it up from scratch. I mean, I'm sure there's something someone's going to be like, well, listen, I juggle and I'm balancing right. on this. And like, okay, you have a new service, but the idea that you have to find a way to make yourself unique to the marketplace and provide value that no one else can touch because you're uniquely bringing it to people,
yes.
you know, is worth thinking about.
Well, and it's the way that you curate and present and package that together that makes it unique, right? So you can give them a release strategy. You could give them a YouTube strategy. I mean, there's so many things that you could do to help an artist launch their career. It's not only the way you package that information, but it's the unique filter that, like, you learned it somewhere. Mm-hmm. Then it comes through your experience, your implementation, your takeaways, removing all the crap you wish you didn't do. And then you present it in another way. That's what makes it unique and special to you.
Yes. And I think the other part of that, something that we've talked about a bit, and this is a term that got thrown around for a long time before I knew what it was, and it's B2C and B2B, which we'll dive in a little bit. But it sort of speaks to knowing who you're offering it to and how you're going to help those other people. Maybe we could dive in a little bit to the difference of just a navigating a B2C and a B2B interaction and break that down for some new people.
Sure. So B2C means that you're selling to the consumer, and B2B, so your business to consumer, is B2C, right? Mm-hmm. So that's going to be anyone that hires you, hey, produce my track, or hey, sing on my track. Like, you know, a lot of the sound better stuff. That's all like B2C. Mm-hmm. B2B is when you're dealing with a business, right? So, and some of that stuff comes in through those platforms as well. So instead of dealing with one person specifically, you're dealing likely with an organization, right? So there's a big difference between somebody who's like, I would like a song for my grandma's 90th birthday, and what that budget is in their mind, you know, which is going to vary depending on demographics and psychographics and stuff. But then there's a difference between that and, hey, I'm a multi-million dollar brand and I need a theme song for when I walk out onto my next stage to do my talk that I'm getting paid $50,000 an hour to do a talk on.
Right.
The same product, the same service becomes vastly different in what you're able to charge and how you're able to position that.
Definitely. And the way you want to structure your offer is going to be different because they're going to have vastly different needs, a consumer versus a business. And, you know, you've had a lot of experience in that in the B2B world, too. We've talked a lot about like some of the corporate stuff that you do and like the farmers anthem and things like that. And these are clients that you started to work with on a regular basis because you knew how to navigate working with a business versus working with a customer and how to enhance that experience for both sides of things. And so what I'd love to jump into now is maybe we can do a little bit of kind of light brainstorming, because I think there's going to be people listening to this that like, well, that's great, Chris, but I'm not really a producer in that space. I really kind of do X. I kind of really do Y. And I'd love to just talk through a little bit of, you know, from a 30,000 foot view, some ways to build offers around what you might consider a service. And something that I do a lot is custom songwriting. So I thought maybe we could kind of spitball around that a little bit, because you come into this cold, you write a custom song. Someone hires me to write a song. I deliver that song. And it wouldn't be, you'd be forgiven if you thought that's where that transaction could end. But I thought maybe we could, well, let's start with just your thoughts on things that, how would you take a custom song into an offer from sort of a 30,000 foot view without like diving too much into the minutia for, you know, stressing people out in the tech.
So just for, like, for B2C or for B2B?
Let's do B2C first.
Yeah. So the first thing that I would say is, what is the fulfillment going to look like in relation to what I'm charging, right? So we also want to make sure, that's another thing where I think people get in, they're like, they're so excited to make money that they might bite off more they can chew and realize that what they're making when it comes down to hourly doesn't make a lot of sense. So for example, if you're cranking out a song for Songfinch, right? Or any of these, like, you know, these larger companies that are doing B2C,
sort of third party,
and you're
companies.
Working for their company, it, you know, it makes sense, because I know that, you know, for you, for example, you're able to do those very quickly. You're able to do a song in less than an hour now, right? Yeah. And so for the rate that you're getting paid out, which isn't substantial, it's not very large, you know, but it makes sense because you make it work into your workflow. So the first thing I'd be looking at is, like, what is the deliverable they're going to get in relation to what I'm charging? And, you know, there's something called the value ladder, where you bring somebody in sometimes at a level that's like very not intimidating, very low, no brainer price point, where they're like, oh yeah, I'll pay $97 or whatever. They, you know, they see a low brainer offer and they get in the door, and then you go, okay, we can close that up here, and here's what you get for that. And maybe that's something that takes you about a half an hour to do, or something you've systemized. Maybe you've put a lot of templates in place and now it's taking you maybe 20 minutes to like plug in and just put those things in. Maybe you've written a birthday song, you have a template for it. You've written a anniversary song, a graduate, right? And now you're just going, okay, what's your name? Okay, what's your story? And you're plugging that in because you systemized it. You could charge pretty low for that. And the customer feels like massive value because they don't know your systems behind the scene. All they know is there's a song with my name in it. And my son's name in it, and the birthday song is awesome.
Totally.
What's the next level? If somebody gets in the door, there's always going to be what they call the espresso machine buyer, right? In the business world, which means everyone goes to Starbucks for the $5 coffee. That's why we go there. We expect to spend that.
Yeah.
Not every customer buys the $300 espresso machine. But if they didn't have the $300 espresso machine, nobody would buy it.
Yeah.
Enough people buy it that it increases what's called their average order value over time, that it makes sense to have the espresso machine, right? So you got to have an espresso machine offer. And it doesn't stop there, right? So it's like if your entry level point is low on the value ladder, it's low to fulfill on, what's the next thing you could do that might take a little bit more to fulfill on, but you're going to charge a lot more? And, you know, we won't get too deep into it, but there's so many different things you can do, from the, you know, I'm going to give you an acoustic guitar vocal, to I'm going to give you a full production, to I'm going to make a music video for you, right? And the offer can continue to build as you build the value. And you're always, and you know, this actually applies for, I would say, business and B2C and B2B. The only thing that changes is, what are the needs I'm trying to meet for them?
Yes,
but the delivery aspect and fulfillment is the same. The way you build an offer and a value letter is the same, but the needs of the customer as far as what they'd want to see that build into might be different. For example, a business might need some more licensing rights, right? If they're, especially if they're going to go and there's going to be broadcast situations where this is going to reach millions of people, there are different structures that you'll need to put in place, as opposed to a consumer that's going to play this at a child's birthday party.
Right. And, you know, what's great about it, too, is that when you have a value ladder, when you have an offer structure like that, specifically, let's look at custom songwriting for a second, you get to serve a lot of different people at the level they want to be served. So when you're looking at custom songwriting, if you have an offer that says, well, I do an acoustic vocal, and here I can put it up on streaming for you, and I can make you a little artwork piece with it, I can charge X for that. And that will serve so many people to a level that they weren't even expecting, because they weren't expecting it to go on streaming. They weren't expecting it to go on, you know, get art with it. But then for people who didn't even know there was another door, and like you say, well, here's a full band production and here's what I can offer with that. I can offer a live performance version of it. You know, you're serving customers who didn't know that were going to be coming through the door by having options. And it's not that one is better than the other. It's what do the people want to be served as? So for third party companies.
Yeah, if you don't have the espresso machine, you can't make the espresso machine offer. So you don't need to assume that everyone coming in will even go that far. You just serve them at what it's like, oh, well, I also have this. I also have this. And you're able to move them up that ladder. I actually had somebody who wanted a custom song for their partner, but wanted me to do it as a video and wanted me to introduce, hey, so-and-so wrote this for you. He just wants you to know he loves you from the bottom of his heart. Here we go. And then shoot a basic video. I didn't, you know what I mean? And so I was able to increase my price based on that delivery as well. And then also gave them the Wave and MP3 version.
Yeah, because we've kind of unpacked two ideas here where now within the value ladder, which is the higher tiered things that you offer, like the Expresso machine, there's offers within the value ladder. So you have an entry level offer and that's going to offer, you know, a certain extent. So when you're pricing out your own services, think about what that's going to be, because you can think you can offer things in your service at different tiers, at different price points, and you can build offers around those price points that still separate you no matter how. And there's what we've learned in the sort of marketing stuff that we do. There's no limit. There's no end. You could have a $100,000 thing up here and there's going to be someone who wants you to fly to Bali and perform the song for them.
Right. Like we even get into live performances and, you know, we've even had something pretty epic like that happen within, you know, our own community where one of our coaches who also went through Home Studio Boss, the VIP, had that very thing happen where a client turned from a custom songwriting client into like flying him somewhere, you know, for a special occasion and doing it like kind of like an all day gig with like different custom things here and there. And, you know, we know that obviously that was very top of value ladder as far as pricing went, right? So you never know. Like,
and it's really worth, you know, getting a legal notepad, getting a little journal and kind of mapping out where you think you can, you know, how you can fulfill. Because you'd be surprised with the ideas you get. And you and I, Chris, have had some conversations about my own specific offers where in that call, in that conversation, we sort of uncovered things like, oh, you know, I really, just like that babysitting scenario, like I could make that pretty easily. It wouldn't be hard for me to offer the 5-second sort of video thing that goes in the back of Spotify if they send me the stuff. So I think it just takes some dedicated time to actually think through everything that you know how to do and then how that can serve your offer, no matter what service you provide, if it's songwriting.
Absolutely. And honestly, I would suggest, like you just said, grabbing a legal notepad. And I know that a lot of people are going to be listening, but some people will be watching. So I am going to just draw what is literally just a ladder. Okay. So for you watching the video, if you're listening, you can check this out on YouTube. All I've done is I've drawn like a staircase, essentially.
A staircase.
Right.
Yes.
And then just start putting like, here is my entry level offer. Here is, and then you're ascending them right up this staircase to where the top of this is going to be your most expensive, right? Maybe that's you going to Bali, but right here at the bottom might be the lowest and easiest to fulfill. Takes just 30 minutes of your time, but it's a no-brainer and it's a win-win for the client. And then there's so many things like in between on that value ladder. And you know, if you're hearing this and you're feeling like, oh my gosh, fire hose, brain broken, you're supposed to feel that way. This isn't supposed to be something that you're able to just go and execute tomorrow, and you want it to be like that. Because if this was really easy, everyone would be doing it. And you know, the reason that you're able to, it's kind of like we say, like if you want a life that most people can't live, most people can't make a living as a musician. You have to be willing to do what most people won't do. I am not the most talented producer. I am not the most talented singer. Hallelujah. Okay. I am not any of those things, but I have always been willing to show up and do the work that other musicians weren't. And then you've got the people with the broken ass mindsets over here going, I'm better than her. I'm more talented than her. She's not even that good at blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? I was good at the other things that mattered and moved the needle, which was doing the work. So if this breaks your brain a little bit, it's okay. You're supposed to feel like that. And the thing is when you get through to the other side of it, when you land your first client for $5,000, $7,000, $10,000, and you're like, holy crap, that's what, you know, I haven't even ever made that in my music career. You'll see why it's so important.
And I think too, you know, it, if especially people who are feeling maybe overwhelmed by some of it, it's more about opening up to this idea, because I think it's easy to not think about an offer at all. Like even when I was playing bar gigs, that was something that started to kind of come up, was like, well, how can I change this experience? And a quick example, what I did is I actually started handing out business cards that had a QR code on them and people could scan it with their phone and request a song. And when they did that, they joined my email list.
Yeah.
And it became a different way, because then we started engaging with the audience in a different way. And that was just a different part of my offer, because anyone could show up and play that song. But once I started looking at it through a lens of like, what else can I provide, or how can I change this experience? You know, that was one thing, and it took a little bit of time to get ready. And there's a lot of things you can do to add to that. But even if this left you going like, you know, what's one thing that I could do that would make me different in my offer? You know, you're already halfway there, because you're thinking about it, and most people aren't.
100%. Could you, you know, it's funny. They say McDonald's doesn't actually make their money on the cheeseburgers. And that's what they're known for. They're so known for it that they have a cheeseburger mascot. Okay. Like, but that's not where they make their money. They actually make their money on the fries and the soda and the soft drinks. Right. So, it literally, when you're going to make an offer, think like, always be thinking outside of like the initial service to like, what is my version of, would you like fries with that? Totally. And I just feel like that's a very simple way to do it. Because if you're like, I don't know what to offer, what is your version of, would you like fries with that? Oh yeah, I can produce this song for you. Did you need some album artwork? Awesome. Do you have a release strategy in place? Cool.
Yes.
Hey, do you know anything about breaking into film and TV? I have a resource for that. Okay, so I'm going to put this all together and this is what I charge, right?
Yeah, I love that. And so the last one I want to talk about here, because we've talked about an offer around production. We've talked about custom songwriting, a little bit about live gigs. I didn't go too much into that, but I think your wheels are turning now if you're a live gigger, because I was like, as soon as I looked at it that way, I want to talk a little bit about beat leasing and beat licensing, because we have a rock star in our community, Johnny Walker, who changed the game on beat licensing with the way he sort of built offers around what he does. So maybe I'll let you just give a little bit of backstory, Johnny, because you really coached him through the program, and him and I don't know each other super well, but he's changing the game. He's changing the beat leasing game.
He really is. And what's so cool about Johnny is like just his mindset, his persistence, his resilience. You know, he initially was like, okay, I'm going to try this beat licensing thing. And at first he noticed, like, as he was trying to, you know, do what the market was doing and make some like hip hop beats, he wasn't seeing a lot of movement. And rather than going, this doesn't work, because the first thing he tried didn't work, he said, how can I make this work? And then he thought, okay, well, what if I start doing like tracks in this style and tracks in this style. And he started playing with doing the country rock, which was really his zone of genius. Mm-hmm. And not only that, he started to really notice that people were leaning into the guitar heavy stuff. And he said, what if I just put out some guitar only tracks, and started, you know, kind of switching it up. So one thing has led to another. And now he's kind of become, his company is Guitar Beats, right? So he's become the guitar beats guy, where people are coming to him. And he started to notice, you know, when we talk about, what do people need? What are they asking? Yes. Well, a good way to get started is to just start and then listen. Listen to what people say. Yes. So people started sliding into his DMs. Hey, or emailing him. Hey, do you have the chord sheet for that? Do you have, you know, the chart for that? Could you show me how to play this? Do you have a video of you doing that? So what did Johnny do? He went, well, I could add that into my offer. Right. So now he is doing all sorts of things, you know, between bundling his beats together to, you know, saying like, here, oh, here's the video of how he's creating content around that as well. And taking, and then also building in value to where they come in and maybe they wanted just to lease a beat. Would you like fries with that? Do you need help mixing once you put your vocals on that? Okay.
Yeah.
I also do full production. Do you need me to make any customized songs for you with that? Now, all of a sudden, somebody that came in for a $27 or $47 or whatever the price of the beat is, they're typically $50 or less when they're like an MP3 lease. Now, all of a sudden, they're looking at an offer you make that might be thousands of dollars. They didn't even know. So what started as a beat leasing low ticket offer all of a sudden becomes a high ticket customized song. Right.
And he's really built a community around this, you know, the offer that he gets to provide, because he gets to provide so much value. People now, well, I want this beat, but I'd love to be able to play it myself. Well, here's a tutorial on how to do that. He's built a community, and now with an email list where he actually has community events and he does giveaways. And what seemed like it would have been a one-to-one service where I give you X, you pay me X, and goodbye, I never talked again. He's not only built like a community and return customers, there is a whole sort of a community and environment that he's fostered based on listening to what people need and then changing the way his, you know, his service, turning it into an offer. So, and I think that that's mostly just an example of like, you can put an offer on anything. Whatever your thing is, it could be an offer.
Right.
And
for example, I just want to speak to that on the beat leasing. I always say, you know, for the singers, because we have, of course, you know, we have beat making for songwriters, right? So I love helping songwriters kind of break into this. And most of them are singers. And I'm like, singers, you got a special thing here that these other beat makers don't have, which is you could lease your beats. Sure, put the beat up by itself. But then let's say that's a $49 lease. But then make a $69 lease and put vocals on it. Right. You already own half the song anyways. Does it really like just write half the chorus? Just write the chorus, because there's so many rappers just looking for beats that then they have to go find a singer to sing the hook, and they don't know how to sing a chorus. They're a rapper. They want to do the verses. So now you've built your offer like, hey, I made this beat, but I can give it to you with vocals on it. Right.
Yeah, totally. And so, you know, what I would encourage everyone to do now, today is the day, get the notepad out.
Yeah.
And when I first sort of discovered this, and it sort of ties into a lot of stuff we talk about with building funnels, building offers, you know, it's so exciting to figure out the other things you can provide value. I did it with my brother's company. You know, he has like an e-commerce component to his company, and we would talk through like, could we do tutorials? Could we do instruction booklets? Like, really throw everything at the wall and then pare it down. But I would encourage everyone to take, like, there's no bad ideas today. Just write down everything you could offer and then figure out, you know, what that semblance. And even if you just find one thing, you know, you're really going to start setting yourself apart, which, you know, which is the goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's such a good point there too, Patrick. A lot of times, you know, there are people that, like, for example, when I started making tutorials, I didn't really know that Produce Like a Boss was going to be like become what it did. Right. But mm-hmm. I definitely saw that at first as, oh, I'm going to help some of my friends. I'm going to help some other people. Maybe I'll put it up. But like that initially was going to be part of my offer for Boom Fox Productions. And then Produce Like a Boss just came in and was like, I am the king now. And I love that. And I'm really lit up by teaching. But what I think a lot of people miss is when they see producers doing tutorials and stuff, they think like, well, once again, they go into that binary thinking of like, no, I'm a real producer. I'm a real artist. I don't do that. And it's like, what if that was just part of your offer? Because so much modern marketing is educational. Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. Every like, just go on TikTok for an hour and you'll see that most marketing, most ways that people are being brought into paying for some type of service is through being educated. So how-to content actually does support your brand, whether you're a producer or an artist. How can you make that part of your offer where you're like, here's a little bit of my process. Here's behind the scenes. Not because you want to be a teacher, but mm-hmm. because that supports your marketing campaign.
I love it. I love it. That's such a great point. And truer words never spoken for the time we're in right now, because that is the age we're in. Education is shifting in a lot of different mediums and a lot of platforms, and people are looking for a way to sort of fill a void that they're not getting in other means. And it's kind of becoming a piece of marketing.
Edutainment. It's yes, the edutainment exactly. industry. Absolutely.
I love it. Well, we're pretty much at time. So I think it's a good place to wrap up there with that awesome knowledge bomb on education, edutainment. But for everyone who's looking to learn a little bit more about building an offer, I think the best thing to do would be to check out our Home Studio Boss VIP course. And we've been talking about it a lot through these new series. And the best way that you can do that is go to producelikeaboss.com/call. You get on a team phone call with myself, with Ben, and we'll just talk through what you're doing with your career right now and how we might be able to help you take it to the next level. And building an offer is a really big part of what we help people do within the coaching and the high touch mentorship of Home Studio Boss VIP.
Yeah.
So with that down and out of the way, head over to producelikeaboss.com/call and we'll see if we can help you, and we'll leave it there. So we'll talk to everyone soon.
All right. See you guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Listen, if you're wanting to learn how to turn your home studio into a cash producing machine and start actually generating income as a musician, we'd love to help. You don't have to wait on royalties or Spotify streams or getting discovered. Matter of fact, chasing those things is like stepping over dollars to pick up dimes. At Produce Like a Boss, we can show you how to ditch the 9-to-5 and ditch the side hustle. Who needs a side hustle? It's time to make music your front hustle. So I'm going to drop a link here in the description of this podcast. Go ahead and click that link to book your strategy call today, and we look forward to chatting with you. As always, we're going to take this out with one of my songs, and since we're getting close to Halloween, I figured let's get a little spooky with it. This is a song that I did with my side project, Side Trip, and it's called Bad News Bye Bye.
Came after me, now I'm coming after you. Now you're gonna see, nightmares come true. slip into